From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Chad Beater.
And I'm Andrew Richards.
And I'm Bill Messmer.
And we're back. Welcome to Defrag Tools, back again with Bill Messmer.
Can you do the catchphrase?
Oh, the catchphrase. Guys, the show that takes you inside Microsoft...
Internals.
And inside Microsoft internals.
No, Windows internals.
Oh, I said Microsoft internals twice. Oh, one of these days I'm going to get this down. It's so hard. I need to write it down or something.
Put it on the whiteboard.
Yeah, put it on the whiteboard. We have the
script.
We need a teleprompter. Golnaz, can we get a teleprompter? Oh, man. Or a cue card. We need a cue. You need to be holding up. We've got Andy over here. He needs to hold up cue cards. Yeah. He could be the cue card boy. So we're back. So I didn't mention this last week, but you have an awesome shirt here. This is from the Windows 10 launch party, right?
Yeah, Ninja Cat. Riding a T-Rex.
Riding a T-Rex, and he's got those, like, gripper thing, because he has such short arms.
There's actually an animated GIF, and he's walking along with it, and he's actually clamping things with it, too. So I think it's on my Facebook page or something, anyway, publicly. Yeah. But, yeah, you could you had a choice.
Yeah.
And you could have got the Ninja Cat riding the unicorn.
Yeah, that's here. The one I've seen.
But there was also...
fire-breathing unicorn.
Yeah, fire-breathing unicorn. And there was also... a Ninja Cat riding a narwhal?
What's a narwhal?
You know, the like a whale
a narwhal,
a unicorn type nose.
But, nice.
I thought T-Rex was the most appropriate one. What we need now is a Ninja Cat riding a shark with lasers, I guess.
Ooh, that'd be a good one. There has to be pirates in there somehow, maybe at some point. Yeah. Although maybe piracy and a software company, maybe, I don't know. There might be some questions about that. But this is the new Microsoft. We're a little more mellow.
Yeah.
So,
but launch party was awesome.
Yeah?
Macklemore did a full set.
Macklemore.
There was...
Featuring Ryan Lewis.
It was.
Yes.
He absolutely rocked it. Had to, you know... drive over the bridge to get here. He's a local.
Oh yeah, he's from Seattle, downtown, so he had to come all the way out to Redmond.
All 10 minutes.
Yeah. Sounds cool.
But he still brought his touring bus.
He's got a new song coming out or something.
Well, played it first time publicly.
Nice.
Yeah, so
nice. From Microsoft, got to hear it. Very cool. Anyway. So it sounds like it was a good time. I didn't get invited. I apparently don't rate somehow. But anyway, I heard it was a good party.
Did you enjoy it? Did you go?
No, I didn't go.
So you were invited and you didn't even go.
No, I didn't go.
Oh, man. Well, you could have got a great T-shirt. So he's got the Ninja Cat's got a Windows flag with a Windows logo on it, which is kind of cool, and an Xbox logo.
Well, it's like the Windows one I had a couple of weeks ago where it's, you know, showing the unification of all the platforms.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Right on. So we're going to pick up back where we left off last week. We had kind of a weird edit point there. But we had been talking about DX, and we're going to talk a little bit more about the kernel side of things.
And discoverability.
Discoverability and some of that stuff.
So
we'll cut back into that now.
Again, you might ask, like, how do I discover some of these things? One of the other things that we added with DX, we added this notion of a debugger namespace that fits this model that I can kind of click and explore. Right? It's the first thing, I'm going to just hit the tab, right? So it's the first thing that comes into tab completion, if you're not already doing, like, you know, some prefix that you're tab completing. And when I look at that, you'll notice that there's a bunch of stuff in here. There's sessions and settings and state. I'll go over state. And you'll notice that I can actually see some help here in the debugger. Mm. I'll go over state, user variables, and there's those three variables that I've put in. Yeah. Right? Or I can see the ones that the debugger has. There's our aliases for what the current session, the current process, the current thread are. But it goes much further than that. Yeah. Right? This whole thing is based on that object model, and I can go through and I can look at the sessions. Right? We've got a live user mode process that we're debugging, or set of processes. I'm debugging this process called tryExample.exe. Right, I can look at the threads that are within there, right? And there's one thread in this process. And I can look at its stack and its stack frames and go down here and its local variables, and we're back to dictionary. Right? And all I've done is just click.
Yeah.
Right? I haven't entered any commands in the debugger, I've just kind of followed it. But much like we queried the dictionary for things, we can actually go and query the call stack for things. Right? So I could make a query that asks, you know, is COM on the call stack? Is kernel 32 on the call stack? Or I can go further than that. We'll look at this just as one example. I'll bring up cur-thread, which is our alias for the current thread object. We'll take a look at the stack frames. and I will project the stack frames to f.localvariables.dictionary. So I'm basically going to take each stack frame, right, and look for the dictionary variable on that stack frame. And when I do this, you'll notice stack frame 0 has this object of type try, right, and I could click it and continue back down the dictionary. Stack frames 1 and 2, there's no local variable called dictionary on this particular stack frame. Mm-hmm. And 3 and 4, I'm using public symbols for, these are kernel 32. And we don't have type information, local variable information in those symbols. So you get an error. The error message could be a little better, but you get an error because the locals aren't in the PDB.
Yeah.
Right. But this allows me to do a set of really, really kind of powerful, right, I want to query the call stacks, I want to look at processes, I want to look at that kind of thing in the debugger.
And does this work in kernel mode debugging as well as user mode debugging?
It absolutely does. Hmm. So let's switch over to that just as an example. I've got one up here. Let me bring up my kernel debugger. That one. So I've got, I took this as a random crash dump from somewhere. The particular crash isn't important here, but we'll look at this in the kernel. One of the things that we've tried to do as part of that is that we've tried to make that experience very, very identical, or as identical as we can, between kernel mode and user mode. So you guys have done both kernel mode and user mode debugging. Like, there's a different set of like skills and commands that you need to learn there.
Different approach. Actually, we talked about that last week.
Talked about that last week. Yeah, it's a definitely different. You know, there's a lot of crossover, obviously, because it's still code. But
I think particularly the extensions you run are different, but the actual fundamental commands are the same. Like the DTs are the same and the Ks and stuff. But
some of them are like switching threads in the kernel debugger, right? There's like dot thread that you need to run, whereas it's tilde something s in user mode.
Yeah. Right.
And in kernel mode, that same tilde something s switches processors when you're in kernel mode. Yeah. Right. So there's some differences that you need to kind of learn and make yourself aware of as you're switching from user mode to kernel mode. We've tried to make that experience as seamless as possible in this. So when I look at the debugger object in kernel mode, right, I can look at the sessions. Right, we're looking at a 64-bit kernel dump, and there's a list of processes in here. Mm-hmm. Right, and I didn't have to run bang process. This processes object, it's the same in kernel mode, it's the same in user mode, and I can click through these and look at stacks without having to know all the different commands to get to a kernel stack versus a user stack.
You don't
stack.
Have to know 17 to make sure you get the user symbols loaded and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, all that weird stuff.
You still may have to load user symbols and stuff. We haven't gotten quite that far with this.
Yeah.
But if you're looking at like the kernel mode stacks,
then you're fine.
Right, you're totally fine. But I can go through and I can do some query on this. Let's just, as an example of this, maybe I want to look at I'm looking at this from a resource utilization perspective, and I want to do some kind of query like, I want to look at processes by thread count or something like that. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're going to build that query just really quick on top of this. One of those things, so as I mentioned, we added an ability to manipulate the object model from the command line. For link in C#, you make deep use of anonymous types, right, to kind of build what you would do in SQL as a select some set of variables. So we actually brought that into the debugger too. So I can say new, first equals 5, second equals 7, and I get an object. Mm. Or that can nest, second equals new, third equals 8.5, fourth equals, whatever. Hello. And this looks and works just like anything, right? I can click through these.
Yeah.
I get the DML link. There's first and second. There's a DML link there. There's third and fourth. So I'll actually take a look at the process list now. So we'll look at the current session. We'll look at its processes, and we'll do a projection. And we'll do this projection. We'll say that the process is going to, I'm going to pull some things out of process that I'm interested in. So I don't know. What do you think might be interesting to look at in a process?
Name, thread count, handles.
All right. We'll say name equals p dot. And notice I'll use tab again, right? And we're in the middle of this. And again, this is a lambda expression, so it knows that this P is really a process.
Yeah.
So we're able to get tab completion. So we'll take the name, we'll take the ID, and we'll take the thread count. And I'll do the thread count via, I'll say p.threads, right? So we've got a collection of threads within this. And I'll use the link method count, right, to actually get the thread count that's within that process. And I might, when I do this, I'm not interested in the ones that have 0 or 1 thread. I'm interested in the ones that have 100 threads in them to see what's going on in the system. So I'm actually going to sort it order by descending, and I'm going to order it by thread count. And I'm going to type THR. And this is a very important thing to notice here, and I'm going to hit the tab. And what do you expect to happen here?
Well, I'm guessing thread count. Threads, but it could be thread count.
Thread count, right? Because it knows that this order by is ordering this expression, and it knows what the type is. And you'll notice that thread count only exists right here this line.
In that context.
In that context, right? Yeah. It doesn't exist anywhere else yet. Yeah. It exists only right there. Mm-hmm. And so we're actually able to do that tab completion, right? Like I said, we get a very IntelliSense-like experience with this. So I'll order by thread count, and I'll take just the top 10 processes. So I'm only going to list 10 of these right now. And it's going to take a moment, because this is kind of the equivalent, the moral equivalent of bang process 00. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we see those processes. Now I might want to go, and there's a dot, dot, dot continuation link that I can click. I might want to go back, and I want to see more information than the process ID. I'll go one level of recursion into that. Right.
This is where those pseudo variables you made start exposing themselves.
So I can see unknown image is the kernel, right? It has the most threads, and Spotify in this has a bunch of threads. Mm-hmm. Right, so I can actually go and I can build up a whole bunch of stuff around this, right, and do this query. And one of the other things, now this is what I'm going to show right here. This is not in the kits build that releases with Windows 10. It'll be in a flight that comes out sometime shortly. This is a public kits build that I'm running. So I'm going to right click up here on this particular guy, this expression that I just resulted, and I'm going to ask it. There's this command here, display as grid, and I'm going to ask it to do this. And so now I kind of get this nice formatted table of here's these objects that I did, right? Here's the process ID, the name, the ID, and we have this sorted by thread count, right? I can do things with this just like I would with, you know, an Excel table. So we've got this ability in the debugger now. I can click ID and what do you think will happen?
Sort by ID.
Exactly.
And better.
Right, so it'll take a second again because we're going to basically rerun the bang process 00. Nice. And here you go, and we have the processes sorted by ID. Right, so I can go in and I can start querying a bunch of data, right? And I'm no longer restricted by how bang process gives me the ability and the particular weird, you know, I always forget when I'm doing bang process, what's the flag that shows this thing or what's the switch?
It's a bit mask. It's so annoying.
It is.
Yeah.
And a lot of the commands in the debugger are like that, right? There's a set of flags or a set of switches on them which kind of turn on or off various filters.
And the other annoying thing is when bang process, you get this header. But they've actually got two fields next to each other. It's not like one per line. You can't like grep out the line that you want because there's two damn things on it.
Yeah. So you can choose with this kind of a query, you can actually choose what you want to pull out of the debugger.
And I think with discoverability too, like because you've got the completion there, you go, what properties does this object have? I have no idea what I could be pivoting on. Oh yeah, I'll add handle, but I didn't know that there was driver object count as well. I'll add that there, and then it comes into a table, and then you know, you can visualize it and sort it and all that type of stuff much easier.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A very good way of learning, probably a better way of learning Windows internals than trying to go back to a MSDN or Windows internals book or something. Definitely, discoveries there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we've actually done this for a number of things beyond just like the processes list. When you go and more of these will come online, right, as the debugger continues to move forward. When I go in and I explore, debugger today, I see sessions. Right, there's this thing called devices here, and I hover over this, and the plug and play devices, which are known to the kernel.
Yeah.
Right, so I can go click the plug and play device tree, and I can start seeing it's a tree. Right, here's all the plug and play devices, and just like I did with the dictionary, right, I can take this and flatten it. Oop, we'll actually just use the current session. Flattened by children. I get all the tab completion there. And here's all the devices that are in the plug and play device tree. And I can go up and do a similar sort of thing. And there they are.
Nice.
Right, and I could sort by, I could go up to the table and I can sort by service name, or I could run another query on this and write pull things out that I'm interested in, not that Bang DevNode or Bang DevInst or the variety of extensions which traditionally look at this information.
Yeah, so this could be a lot easier way to find things than running Bang DevNode and trying to go search through this whole, Control F and find what you're looking for. It's much easier to see it in a table form like this.
And particularly like what you were saying before, with the developer of the extension has done the filtering against your will.
Right. Yeah.
And then so you go, right, I got the address, and then DT the address, DT the address. And then trying to script that's hard. Yeah,
yes, it is.
Yeah, it's just a nightmare. But it's definitely a significant evolution in debugging, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the one last thing that I'll show here in the kernel debugger, this is kind of particularly useful. There's only a number of things that we've added to the debugger presently today that fit this model, right? We've done processes and threads, and we've done some devices and some other things. But there's a lot of times where, right, we haven't, like, the debugger extension hasn't moved to exposing data in this model, or we haven't gotten to that yet. A lot of things in the NT kernel, right, they're lists of something. Mm. Right, we've got this kind of ubiquitous data structure list entry, right? Doubly linked lists of whatever it happens to be that you find everywhere in the kernel. Mm-hmm. So there's actually one utility method that we added to the debugger to take a list and turn it into an iterable like this that you can go and start clicking around and querying.
Nice.
So I'll do this. I just happen to know the process list. I'll do it for that. I mean, we've already done this for processes, but it's just kind of an example. So I'll look at... in NT, there's this, right, PS active process head. That's a list of the active processes that are in the kernel. And I will go through, there's this, if you look at debugger, there's this utility, collections from list entry method that we've added in the debugger. And so I can actually go through and say debugger.utility.collections.fromListEntry. And we don't have type information for this thing. Right, because these are public symbols, unfortunately. So I'll manually say I'm going to cast this to an NT list entry pointer that address.
And because all lists are that type, it's going to work.
Right, because, yes, we have that type within the symbols.
Let me probably explain what this thing is. So there's a structure at the top of the things. It's not a union, it's a structure. You've got the list entry at the top, and then you have a payload underneath it. And the list entries move from pointer to pointer to pointer, and underneath, based on the type information, you end up with this ability to traverse any type of list.
Yeah.
Because you know what the head is, you know how to traverse it, and then it's just a matter of casting it appropriately.
These are used all over in the kernel, list entry.
Yeah.
You know, it's forward link, backward link, and sort of circular linked list, right? It's doubly linked list, right?
Yeah, and that list entry structure is embedded in some other structure, so when you get to the particular list entry that you're interested to, based on the type information, you go back up and find what data structure it's embedded in. Mm-hmm. So for this, I know that it's within this is within the data structure E process, and the field is active process links, right? So I'm going to provide again the expression to get me to the list entry, the name of the type, and the name of the field that gets me there, and here's that list of processes. Right. And now, again, this is something that I can go back on and I can start running select or any other link query. Right. Or I can go back up and get the entire list of processes in the kernel and all their fields.
Mm. Right. This could be any object.
This could be any object, yes.
Right. Could be a whatever. There's hundreds of these variants in the kernel.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're all over the place.
Pretty common.
Yeah.
Yep.
Cool. Is that about it?
That is about it for now.
Because that's enough awesome for the day, I'm guessing.
That's pretty cool.
Definitely a big change. I think, as I was saying before, discoverability is one of the key things that comes out of this. And it's kind of cool that you got the sorting stuff as well. I mean, traditionally, you would have got this stuff, and you would have dumped it in Excel, and you would have done the work over there. Mm-hmm. So having it inside the debugger is great. I think simplistically, you know, in even things like debug notes, you know, it's in there, you copy paste, put it in your notes, this is how I got to the conclusion, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Very, yep. Very doable. And I think the ability to make an alias is also, the simplification that leads to is fantastic. So, definitely very, very cool stuff.
Good a lot to, of nice work. The debugger keeps getting better and better.
It does.
Yes. Very cool.
So in the future, we'll talk about NatViz. Won't be next week, but we'll talk about that and how you can leverage that to get your display stuff working better. And I suppose that's it for debugging for a while. We'll probably move on to a different topic next week, I think.
Sounds good.
We might invade Larry Osterman's office.
Oh, yeah. We haven't talked to Larry in a while. What he's up to these days.
Default can-do bot? Okay. We'll go do some campus touring.
Sure. Yeah, we got some stuff kind of on the cooking there. We're working on some stuff.
Cool.
All right.
Well, thank you, Bill.
All right. Yeah. Thank you guys for having me on the show.
Great. Yeah. Well, that's our show for this week. As always, if you have questions or comments, put them in the show notes down there or email us at defragtools@microsoft.com. As always, thanks for watching.
See you next week.
Thanks.